Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
We've had a few different voices over the past weeks. I haven't actually spoke for about 4 weeks. 3 weeks ago, Mariah spoke. 2 weeks ago, Judah spoke. And last week, Ben spoke. And it's great to have the opportunity to have some of the younger voices sort of develop their and hone their skills and in anticipation of their ministry. And we had one of our other speakers speaking in the summer, and they were just getting to the end of the message, and somebody was sitting here with her son, who was, 12 or something like that, and he looked at his mom and said, "I like him a lot better than the other guy. I apologize to you this morning. I am the other guy, and so you will be stuck with me for the next 39 minutes. No, I don't know. However much time we have left in the service. I always lose track on this one. At here at Crosslands Church, we have an access point. If you're new or if you're wanting to connect, if you go to crosslands.live on your smart device, like a phone, tablet, we don't see too many people bringing desktops in. You go to crosslands.live, and that's a great way to connect. So you can sign up for our email announcement lists. A lot of people sometimes miss the first announcements in the service. Well, they're emailed out every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. There's family news emails, there's financial updates. You can sign up for those there. It's also, if you want to look for a small group to connect to, if you're looking for giving options, people have asked us, well, you don't take an offering in the service, so what do I do? And if you go to crosslands.live, there's giving options there. And we also have message notes. So on a weekly basis for our Sunday message, there will be a relevant scripture for the message, as well as application questions called "Where do we go from here? How do I apply this? How do I process this? Live this out on a Monday to Saturday, sort of an every day of the week thing." So I would encourage you to check those out. And we should have time at the end to entertain some text messages. If you have a comment or question relevant to the message this morning, we'll deal with those live at the end of the message. And I don't want to put any pressure on you. We had some really good ones in the first service this morning, so there is that. So let's jump in. How many people signed up for Disney Plus? 1, 2, 3. You know what? With all the hype I've heard, I would have expected more. Like, everybody's been talking about this Disney Plus thing, especially Star Wars fans, because there's, I don't know if you've heard about this, the Mandalorian TV show. It's a new Star Wars thing. And Jordan Breckenridge was talking to me this past week. He said, "Have you signed up for Disney Plus? Because the Mandalorian's on." I said, "Oh, I don't want to spend the money on that." He goes, "Yeah, but it's free for a week." "Yeah, but they're uploading these episodes like one a week." So here's my strategy, okay? I'm going to wait till they're all uploaded, then sign up for a week, binge the show, and then cancel it. I'm not telling you should do the same thing. That's just my sort of Dutch approach to that. So we've been doing this series called True Story Bro, and really sort of the point of it is, as followers of Jesus, we have all kinds of benefits to following Jesus. And what I'm hoping is that you would connect these to your life and see what God has done in your life. 3 weeks ago, Pastor Mariah spoke. She talked about the opportunity we have to have our behavior corrected. And Lord knows we all have issues in our lives. And there is this potential for us. 2 weeks ago, Judah spoke about identity and purpose. As we follow Jesus, he gives us identity and purpose that you wouldn't find elsewhere. And then last week, Ben spoke about love. Because God loves us, we can love. We can know love, and we can show love. So today, I want to talk about something. I'm calling it the buzz, okay? When I meet people who become new followers of Jesus, it's like their face lights up. And people tell me about their experiences. It's like the sky is bluer, the grass is greener. Not today, but the birds sing louder. It's like life is just good. It's like there's this buzz, and there's a reason for that. The reason is for that is because God is with you. If you are a follower of Jesus, God is with you. And, you know, we all kind of know, well, God is everywhere. Yeah, but he's with you. He's with you, and he's for you. His power and presence is available at work in your life. Now, I don't really remember my first experience as a follower of Jesus, that buzz, because I was like 5 years old. It was a long time ago. I've experienced it, throughout my life to varying degree. But this is what God has on offer for us. I'm going to read a passage from Ephesians. I would encourage you to turn with me. I don't see many paper Bibles anymore. People are doing it all digitally. And When the thing first came up with the phone, people used to complain, you should use a real Bible. Okay, a real Bible is a scroll. Okay, I don't see people unrolling scrolls on the theater seats in front of you. So what matters is the text. So whether you're reading it digitally on paper, I could do both, but I'm reading paper this morning. I'm going to read from this letter that Paul wrote. It's called the Book of Ephesians, and it's a letter that actually was probably not written specifically to a church in a city called Ephesus. It was a circular letter, and it was Paul kind of touching base with new churches, some of which he'd been to, and saying, okay, here you are following Jesus. It's time to grow. It's time to increase in your knowledge. It's time to increase in your capability as followers of Jesus. And so I'm going to read from chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. And he says this, I also pray, also meaning he'd been praying some stuff in the paragraphs before, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. That the word incredible greatness could be also translated immeasurable greatness, unsurpassing greatness. It's the greatest thing. The unsurpassing, immeasurable, powerful greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. It could also be translated towards us or to us. God has power available to us. And sometimes you go, yeah, I know. I get that. To what extent? The next sentence. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. That's a lot of power. It takes a fair bit to raise somebody from the dead. And Jesus went from the lowest to the highest. And there's all kinds of meaning and reasons behind that. But what I want to emphasize this morning is that power that raised Jesus from the dead is working for you. That's the buzz. That God is with you and working for you. I'm not a morning person. I wake up every day about crack of 10 o'clock. I'm at work by 9, okay? Just so you know, but I'm awake by 10. And on that day-to-day grind, especially if you're commuting, I have so much sympathy for people that commute, that can wear you down. Life can wear you down. Circumstances can wear you down. Relationship struggles can wear you down. Financial struggles can wear you down. There's all kinds of things in our lives and in the world today that can just hit you and wear you down, but in spite of that, God's power is working for you, in you, through you. There's a different letter Paul wrote. It's the book of Galatians, and he talks about the results, the measures of God working for you, and he describes it as fruit. It's like a plant just grows fruit. God grows this stuff in your life, and he has this list, and it's 9 things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If you have those things going on in your life, if you have those things being produced in your life, you're undefeatable. There's nothing that can knock you down if you're full of love, if you're full of joy, if you're full of peace. Because it comes from God growing it from the inside out. It's not dependent on our circumstances. God's power is at work to bring that out in you. I was reading a book, it was about the restaurant business, and it's an autobiography, and if you're really into food and wine and things like that, you'd love it. Half the stuff I had no idea what I was talking about. It was written by a guy raised in the upper middle class who toured Europe as a child and visited the best eateries and throughout United States as well, and his mother made him keep a journal. So he's actually writing about where he went when he was like 11 years old and what dishes he tasted in different villages in France. It's like, it's crazy. But interspersed with all that autobiography and his obvious passion about food, there are these leadership principles that comes out. And he went to start a bunch of restaurants that have been really rated really highly in New York City and other places. And he at one point, he talks about what he learned about who to hire. And he said there are certain skills that he's looking for in the people that he's hiring. You know, if you're busing, you got to know how to clear a table properly. You got to know how to stay out of people's way. You got to know how to set the table properly so it looks perfect, attention to detail and all that other stuff. He said, but one thing he realized over time is that all those skills, all the tasks, all the jobs that people do equal the 49% of what he's looking for. But what he's really looking for is that other 51%, which is more intangible. So he's looking for things like intelligence and curiosity, people that have a desire to learn. He's looking for empathy. He's looking for what he calls warm optimism. He's looking for work ethic. He's looking for self-awareness and integrity. He says, those are the intangible requirements. He says, I can see if you have the skills, but I feel if you have the intangibles, that 51%. And he says that, you know, you could, if you have all the skills, but you don't have those other things, I don't want you working for me. Because that only gets you to 49%. That's not a passing grade. Now, if you have all those other characteristics, yeah, you still need the skills, but that's what's going to get you there. That's what's going to make our restaurant be the kind of culture that I'm looking for. And when I was reading that, I thought the same thing is true here. And I was thinking in our context of the worship band. Now, Pastor Wade has spent years developing, you know, great worship bands, and there's a few reasons for that. I've heard people come from other churches and like maybe visiting us or coming through or whatever, and they've talked about, you know, that church has amazing musicians. But this church has a good worship band because Wade has trained the band to work as a team. But there's all kinds of skills that are necessary. You need to listen to the music, learn the music, learn the chords, learn the notes. If you're singing, you need to learn the words. You need to learn the harmonies. You have to be able to use the equipment properly. You have to be listening to one another. You have to have all of those skills of what it takes to produce good music. You know what that is? All that stuff is, that's the 49%. Because if all we're doing is doing that, then we're doing a really nice concert for people to listen to. But the mission statement of the worship team is passionate worshipers inspiring passionate worship. And that goes beyond the notes they play. That takes God's presence working in and through and among us to change people's hearts and inspire them to worship. That's the 51%. And that's true of the worship team, but it's also true of every other ministry across this church. If you are serving in the kids program, you're serving in the youth ministries, if you're serving on the first impressions team and making coffee, it's not just coffee. It's not just shaking somebody's hand. It's being able to have God's presence shine out through you. And that's the privilege that we have. At the community dinner, we're not just feeding people food, but we're demonstrating who God is. And that takes the 51%. It takes God adding to and through us what we could never do on our own just by having a set of skills and abilities. We take our skills, our 49%, and that skills plus presence is unbeatable. Our skills, God's presence. So we work on our skills, but we pursue God's presence. God's presence plus our skills. You still need the skills. We can't be lazy. We can't be undisciplined. We need to grow. We need to increase in our abilities. But it's God's presence that takes it over the line. That's the 51%. The good news is that wherever you are, you're here this morning, you're at work tomorrow, wherever you are, God is with you. If you're following Jesus, if you've put your life reorienting trust in him for everything that you are, he's with you. He's for you. His power is at work in and through you. That's the good news. And if you are following Jesus, I'd like you to maybe right now connect. When have you felt that? When have you seen that? When have you seen God at work? We need to remember this stuff because sometimes we forget. When have you seen that, and are you experiencing it today? There will be a day when there will be no more buzz about Disney Plus. I know, hard to believe. There were just like, anybody remember Pokemon Go? Took the world by storm. Anybody still play it today? No one. Was there a hand? Oh, Jordan Brackenridge. Wow. I don't want to say that you're the biggest nerd I know because you're not, but you're close. This stuff, the buzz goes away. I have this thing that I call, it's like person radar. If you have a significant other in your life, especially if they know it, you know when you're in a room that's crowded and that person is there and you know where they are at all times? It's like you just, okay, I know they're over there. I know they're behind me. You're just aware if you have a crush on somebody or you're actually in a relationship with them. And in an early relationship, when you finally get that person to say yes or ask you out or whatever, you finally land that relationship. And there's a buzz. There's a huge buzz. It's like, yeah, my life, it's just like magic. Sometimes people find in their relationships that buzz goes away. How can that happen? Sometimes it happens because we let it become common. We let it become usual or ordinary. We move on to the next project or goal or whatever. I think that's especially true sometimes here at Crossland's Church, because we have people that come and visit us for the first time. They go, "Wow, I've never been to a church like this before." Like, you don't have to dress up, wear a suit, and you can bring the coffee into the main theater. It's really cool. You guys are like chill, relaxed. And yeah, we want to be relaxed, but sometimes an unintended side consequence is people start to treat God casually. Because we're casual in our expression, people think that we take this casually. And I think there's a lot of people that in the pie that is life, they give God one little slice instead of having him at the center, because we're not supposed to take God casually. He's supposed to be the center of everything. And so we're not supposed to let it be common or typical or normal or whatever, or check the boxes. And so sometimes I've experienced this before. Maybe you're here today and you're in this, or maybe you've experienced it in the past. Sometimes that buzz goes away. The sense of God's power, the sense of God's presence, it just doesn't seem to be there anymore. And sometimes people, they'll just kind of walk away from it. Somebody was attending here, they stopped and they told somebody, "I'm just not feeling it anymore," as if that's the marker. You know, are you feeling the buzz? And so there's four reasons why you might not feel the buzz. Four reasons why you might lose the sense of God's power, lose the sense of God's presence in your life. And the first one is being out of community. By being out of community, I don't mean, well, I stopped attending Sunday morning. There's not a lot of community that happens here on Sunday morning, okay? There's great conversation and stuff that happens in the lobby before and after. But right now, you know, you don't have a party at your house and everybody's seated facing the same direction, right? That's not how community happens. It's one of the reasons why we're always harping on about small groups, because that's where community happens. That's where you become authentic with one another. You are known and you know other people and you grow and develop together. And because God's presence is manifested among people, not just in one person. My younger brother used to be in the Army Cadets years and years ago. And a couple of times I went to pick him up when he spent some part of the summer at Army Cadet Camp, whatever. And they go through all of their things where they march. There's all these people marching. And, you know, to some extent, it's impressive. They're all coordinated. They're walking at the same time. They turn at the same time. They all do the same thing. And it's like this big unit of people. You can even see some really impressive things on YouTube where these battalions of soldiers are doing this stuff together. You know what's not impressive? Seeing somebody do it by themselves. Oh, look, there's somebody marching there, and they're about face, whatever. Like, big deal, right? But see, that's the way it is as followers of Jesus. We do life together. You don't see one person playing baseball by himself. The baseball team plays and trains together. Football team plays and trains together. A hockey team plays and trains together. It's not something you can do by yourself. Following Jesus is a team sport. And so we need to be in community. And when we take ourselves away from that, sometimes we lose a sense of his presence and power. Second reason why you might lose the sense of God's presence and power is if you're starving. Years ago, we had a car problem, and we used to take our car into the city. A friend of mine worked at a shop there, so we got really good deals, and so we would drive all the way down in the city, and we tried to get it in on a Saturday, I think, you know, as early as we could, but because we're not morning people at all, you know, by the time we left the house, it was probably later than we wanted to be, so we just kind of threw everything together, and we decided we'd go down there, grab lunch down there, and then see what happened from there. So we drive down there, we skip breakfast, and drop the car in, give him the keys. He said it was going to be a big, big job, so we'd have to leave it there overnight. So we went to get a rental car. And we go over to the rental place where they would have the rental cars, and we both gave him, I think I gave him my license, and he said, "We can't rent you a car, your license has expired." And so gave him Michelle's license, and he said, "We can't rent a car to you, your license has expired too." We find ourselves, we had to go back into the shop, get our keys back, get the car out of the shop, and drive to Local Service Ontario to get our licenses renewed before we could go back and rent a car. And I was starving, and I am not a nice person when I'm hungry. Like, Michelle was actually getting kind of frustrated with me because I'm like miserable when I'm hungry. Here's an interesting fact. I would assume you probably know this. If you don't eat, you won't do well. Hey, when's the last time you ate? 3 days ago. How are you doing? Great. If you don't eat, you don't do well. Here's another one. If you don't breathe, you won't do well. If you don't drink water or something legitimate, you won't do well. And yet, spiritually, many of us are starving ourselves. And we wonder why life is a struggle. God's Spirit is our breath. God's Spirit is our water. And God's words to us is our food. When's the last time you ate? And we wonder why we lose a sense of God's presence and power in life. Because we're starving ourselves. That might be a reason why you lose a sense of God's presence and power. And, you know, it can be hard. I mean, we have a lot of people that these days we just don't read anything beyond tweets and Facebook statuses, and our attention span is diminishing. Well, you can get the like a Bible app, like the YouVersion Bible app, and it's got daily Bible plans, and just start ingesting some, right? And here's another little trick. Here's two tricks. This is not official. It's not party line here. If you miss a day, don't beat yourself up. Just eat some more the next day, right? If you forgot to eat food one day, I forgot to eat on a Tuesday. On Wednesday, to go, oh, well, I may as well give up because I forgot to eat yesterday. No, you just start eating on Wednesday, right? That's what you do. And here's another trick, and this is, again, not party line, not official. If you get bogged down in Numbers and Leviticus, skip it. Just keep going. Like, just skim over it. It's okay. I give you permission. Stop starving yourself. Stop being malnourished. Ingest some scripture. Breathe out and in some prayer. And there's all kinds of other spiritual disciplines. If you find that stuff gets rote, there's other things you can do. Here's another one. You may find yourself losing the sense of God's purpose or God's presence and power in your life. And this is it's a uncomfortable one. If there's disobedience in your life. Sometimes it's something big. Sometimes it's something little. We have a dog at our house, and he's a pretty good dog. I can't really complain. I'd be okay without having a dog, but we have this dog. And really, the biggest issue for me, because I don't really deal with it a lot in terms of responsibilities, but there's dog hair everywhere. It's just everywhere. We were having a problem with our garage door. I don't know if you ever had this, but for about 6 months, it would not work half the time. So it would go down, right? And then it would go down to about 6 inches off the ground. It would go back up again. And it's like, what the heck is going on? So sometimes you have like spiders build webs in the tracks, and you gotta make sure it's all cleaned out. And it was cleaned out. And you check the sensors because there's a safety sensor there. And if there's a spider web on the safety sensor, it's not going to work properly. And it just kept on happening. It would work half the time, and the other half time it wouldn't work. Just it would be unpredictable. It was annoying. It was really annoying. It was aggravating. And after about 6 months, I noticed that there was some dog hair on the bottom of the garage door, and there was a leaf attached to it. And as the door would come down, the leaf would swing. And sometimes it would block the sensors, and sometimes it wouldn't. And what happens in our life is sometimes we have a little disobedience thing, and sometimes it bothers us, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you feel like you're doing okay, and then all of a sudden you're not, and you don't know what it is. Now, what I'm not talking about is, let me give you a whole list of rules and behaviors and things that you should feel guilty about, because we do that naturally anyway. You sit in a quiet room and all of a sudden all the negative crap starts going through your head and, oh, I got to do this, got to do that, I should exercise more or whatever. No, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about prayerfully asking God to shine a spotlight on that issue. And there's somebody here now that you already know what it is. Spotlight's on the issue. You don't need to ask. But you've been avoiding it. You're putting it off. You know, I don't really need to do that. I don't need to deal with it. Okay. That's your garage door going to be opening up and closing. and maybe worse than that. Because if it's not dealt with, it could destroy your life. And one thing is for sure, that until it's dealt with, you are not going to experience God's presence and power like maybe you did in the past. Again, I'm not here to hold people accountable to whatever or give you a list of behavior or a list of rules or whatever. There's something that God wants to shine a spotlight. And most of us have something at any point in time. And it could be different for different people. It could be a relationship that you've let go sour and you're holding on to bitterness and you're holding a grudge and unforgiveness against somebody and you have to deal with that or it's going to destroy your life. It may be something, it may be a habit or an addiction that you've tolerated for long enough and you know you shouldn't. It may be your entertainment choices. Maybe you have a hard time giving control of your finances to God. And until you deal with that, and whatever God is shining a spotlight on, deal with it. Whatever that one thing is. Now, the fourth one is also a difficult one. Because we, in those last three areas, we have responsibility. We have a responsibility to maintain community. We have a responsibility to feed ourselves and not be malnourished. We have a responsibility to deal with whatever that one thing that God is calling us to deal with about. But the fourth one isn't that. There are times when we go through our spiritual journey, and we're all on a spiritual journey, there are times when there's a lack of the sense of God's presence and his power. And it's not because of something that we're doing, it's because of something that he's doing. So God will, from time to time, readjust the foundations in your life. And if our life is like a building, as a metaphor, it's a big deal to readjust foundations because they're at the bottom. And we can get addicted to all kinds of things that feel like God's presence but aren't. We're addicted to nostalgia and sentimentality. And there are a lot of churches for a long time have gone through worship wars. So people fight and squabble about what kind of music is played. And there's reasons for that. It's because people have an emotional, sentimental attachment to a certain kind of music because sometime in the past, they experienced God in that. And they become addicted to the style or the mechanism by which they experience God. And God, there's all different things that we do in our lives that for a while become conduits in our experience to God's presence, but they're not God's presence. And God will adjust those things and remove them. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those pictures of like an 86-year-old guy in a wheelchair who's getting married to a 25-year-old blonde. And I know what you're thinking. I think the same thing. It's true love. It's touching. Touching, really, to see love blossoming. I mean, we all know, right? Right? She's marrying him for his money. I've never seen a poor 86-year-old guy in a wheelchair marry a 25-year-old blonde. I've never seen it, okay? Maybe I'm judging, but sorry, I just can't help it. But see, the thing is that when we have a relationship with God and we experience these benefits and we get the chills up and down the spine and we see miracles and all that other stuff, if that's all it is, then we're marrying him for his money. We're connected to God for what he gives to us. And when he adjusts our foundations in our lives, he's removing our addictions to the benefits of relationship with him rather than relationship with him. Transforms our character. That is not a fun place to be. But anybody going through any long-term journey with God will experience it at least once, probably many times. And if you've been there, you know that's one of the worst things you can go through in life. It sucks. And the only way through it is to go through it. You keep moving forward. You keep trusting God. You keep pursuing him, and he will take you through it. And one day the buzz comes back. Now, wherever you are in your journey, and we're all somewhere in our journey, my hope and expectation for you is that that buzz of God's power and presence is something you would experience every day. Increasingly, not just in that was a great worship service or whatever. Every day. But maybe you're not even in relationship with God. Maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about. And that is something that is accessible to everyone. God loves everyone, has a purpose for every person's life. And there's nothing that you have to do to earn God's love. He already does. In fact, the whole reason Jesus came to die was to demonstrate that love and make possible the relationship with God, breaking all of our self-destructive tendencies that turn us away from God and drawing us to Him. So that relationship is available for you today. And we say this every week. How do you jump into that? It's as simple as ABC. You follow Jesus, starts with ABC. A, admit your need for Him. What I'm doing right now is just not working. I don't have that sense of purpose. I don't have that sense of life. That there's something in me that says there's more than going to work 9 to 5, pay my bills, and raise my kids just to do the same thing. We were made for a relationship with the Creator who made us to love us. Admit that. Admit that you have stayed away from Him or ignored that call. B is belief, which is more than just, I hold a certain opinion. It's trusting that God has better for you, that somehow through Jesus' death and resurrection, there is access to relationship with Him. And C is commit. You can't live the old life and the new life at the same time. But to say no to the past and say yes, I'm going to do it your way because I recognize that's the best way. And if that's something you want to do today, you do need to tell somebody. One of the easiest ways we have to do that is go into crosslands.live and click the Follow Jesus button. Give us your contact information because we can give you resources, connect you to a small group, connect you to a group for new followers of Jesus that meets during the second service every Sunday. So it would be meeting right now. Commit to a community of followers of Jesus. And here's one. It's a great one. There's other churches in Newmarket that are great to commit to. But start following Him. I would also say, just as a note, I mentioned earlier in our next steps, volunteering to serve. There are people that have experienced God in like their artsy type. You know, you feel it in worship and color and light and painting and all that other stuff. And there are other people that really sense His presence in like a message like this. And there are people that are doers. And they go like, I want to do something. It's in serving that we also experience God's power and presence. Because God is at work in the world. And when you work with Him in what He's doing, you sense His power and presence. And so again, as I mentioned before, if you want to, you're looking for serving opportunities, crosslands.live has some there as well. So I'm going to see if we have a text message. We've got a couple minutes. Same amount as the last service. When I was in Collide, okay, this is somebody that was part of our youth group. So Collide is our senior high youth group. When I was in Collide at a youth retreat, Mark Caldwell, he was a special speaker one time, he made us yell, "The same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me," in a Scottish accent. Does that make it work better? Maybe it does. I don't want to try it because I'll just embarrass myself. "The same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me," in a Scottish accent. And I'll never forget it. It's important to remember, but also think on the power behind that so it doesn't lose its weight in normalcy, right? You know what? If you are not one that does like your daily devotions yet, you know, you get up, read scripture, spend some time in prayer, maybe add that to it. Yell as loud as you can in a Scottish accent. Well, maybe not. Okay, part of having a relationship with God is knowing how to use the buzz to pursue Jesus further. It rests on us to chase after God and use the buzz to create a long-standing, passionate relationship with Jesus. Yeah, like, I think sometimes we forget that God chased us first. Right? God chases us, and sometimes we just have to respond. Now, there are times, again, where He will withdraw His presence, almost like hide Himself, because it's almost a test for us to go, are you serious? Are you really wanting to pursue me? But, it's a journey we can do every day. Oh my gosh, you make it sound like our house is filthy and I never clean or vacuum. That's from Michelle. It was the garage door. We don't vacuum the garage. Anybody here vacuum the garage? Don't have a garage, that's the best way to keep it vacuum. You know what? I want to read a text message from the previous service because it was just so good. Are you saying brunettes and redheads aren't good enough to be gold diggers? I thought that was really good. And then I said that my wife is blonde and she married me for my money, which was the biggest mistake she ever made. Yeah, let's stand. We're going to close the service. There is nothing that compares with the presence of God in your life. And I don't think there's anything more frustrating than losing that. And so my hope and prayer for each one of you is that you would do whatever it takes to chase that down, to pursue it. Sometimes God's just waiting for you to respond. Whatever it takes, if it's get connected in community, right? Get connected in a relationship with one or two or three other people, and where you would actually pursue God together with other people. Maybe you have to deal with a spotlight issue, that God is shining something on your life. There is a change that you know he wants you to make. And that gets in the way. Maybe you've been starving yourself and you need to start ingesting more of his words to you. Spend time in prayer. We did a church-wide survey about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, I think, and there's a lot of people here that pray regularly. Prayer is a big thing. It seems to be a bigger battle to actually read Scripture. And so maybe that's something to consider, that maybe you've been starving yourself and you need God's words in your life on a regular daily basis. And if you are in one of those dark nights of the soul where you feel like God has removed himself from you, I pray that you would just be faithful in continuing to pursue him, be sensitive to what he's saying, and he will take you out of it in the right time. Let me pray. Once the service is done, we do turn Theater One into a prayer room, and you're welcome to stay and prayerfully engage with some of the stuff if you've been challenged. I would ask that if you are having conversations, which we welcome, we always want people to be engaging with one another, just do that in the lobby so that people here can have that the dedicated focus time and space to do that. And our kids programs will be running for another 10, 15 minutes. So if you have kids, you're okay to leave them for a little while. So, Father, I thank you that you love us and you want relationship with us. I thank you that that excitement and buzz is just around the corner if we want it. Father, I pray that you would increase our appetite and desire to know you and to have your power and presence operating in our lives. I pray that, Lord, that not even just that we would experience it, but that it would shine out from us, that where we go, your power, your presence would just be like oozing off of us and be tangible to the people around us. May we recognize the benefit of having you in our lives and never take it for granted, never take you casually. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.